I'm drunk, Leo. Leo, I'm drunk. And you know something? Spiritful.
Hello, world. This is Chris Abalo's podcast experiment, and I am Chris Abalo. Welcome to the show. Thank you for subscribing and for sharing and for telling a friend. Subscribing on all the podcast apps, we greatly appreciate it. Thank you for following the show on Instagram, Twitter, and TikTok at Cape Pod. And there will be an announcement for the July midnight live stream soon. So make sure you are following on the socials to get that information because it's happening soon, and you're going to get the announcement in a couple of days. And joining me this week on the show in the continued what's becoming the summer of crossovers, I am here with the gentleman from the Comics, Cartoons, and Craft Beer podcast. I got it right. I got it in the right
you
order.
You did.
Okay,
I was
good.
Very impressed.
Because I actually said, because we were talking about that before, that, like, I'm going to get it backwards.
So many times.
It's your show.
Multiple
you've got
times
it wrong.
I have done it wrong. So many times. Like,
yeah,
what?
I say cartoons first.
Yeah, it's so easy
it's
to do.
So easy.
And that's what I thought. I was like, comics is a shorter word, so it's the first one, right?
But the
right.
Highlight is also cartoons on the podcast. So we say that in, like, at the as the first C of
but
the
also,
three C's.
But also, you would think,
if I could meet Seinfeld in person, I would punch him in his face. So
why isn't that the title of the show? I don't understand.
Punching Seinfeld, the podcast.
Punching Seinfeld.
Oh, because your comics. Got it.
Yeah, we'd like to make it in this world, so we love Seinfeld.
That's right. Joe and John from CCCB are here. So you can subscribe to their show on the same apps when you go to subscribe to Cape.
CCCB,
and,
the podcast at Instagram.
There you go.
And we talk about cartoons. And we have Chris Abalo. He's the guy that's in charge. So
we just have
you listen to him.
That's
okay.
Right.
Anything about the show, you'll love it.
Yeah, we talk Metalocalypse. So if you want to check out their show, you will find me on there as a guest in what will hopefully be a fantastically named episode. I made a suggestion, but it's their show.
We're holding it.
We'll see what happens.
I think I'm going with it. Yeah. I'm the guy that gets to decide stuff, and it's going to be fun.
If the word snot is in the title, that's my episode.
And there you go.
You can draw your own conclusions from that.
Have you guys ever eaten any mushrooms? You should try eating mushrooms.
And listen to the show, because it'll be really fucking funny. And back twiddling the knobs once again, engineer Christian Cordes is here
on,
as
man?
Well. And
it's Big
he'll be jumping in.
You said twiddling the knobs, and his fingers did this piano-esque kind of
motion.
I think it's
a Pavlovian response. You know? It's like, oh, I got to adjust some levels here.
It was almost
Chris
sensual.
Likes to be louder than everyone else.
I
got to
make it look like I'm doing my job. Fuck! Yeah.
I'm on the clock.
He's such a big kahuna.
He's crazy.
He's one of the top two most huggable people of all time. Second, maybe to only Ron Funches.
I got a pretty solid hug. I got a pretty solid hug earlier. I don't know.
It was a great hug.
It was a real love fest
if
in here.
If my competition is Ron, I'm not complaining.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I'm really not.
If you need to be to somebody.
You're up there to be competing with Ron.
The dude was in the fucking Trolls movie. Like, he can hug He can hug really well.
He's King Shark and Harley Quinn.
He can hug you with his voice alone.
Oh, in the cartoon, he's King Shark?
What a man.
King Shark. That's funny.
What a
and
man.
It is magical.
I got to catch up on that cartoon. That may be
Harley
a future
Quinn?
One. Good. Yes.
Yeah.
I haven't seen it.
Solid one.
Harley
solid
Quinn, it was in the news recently. I don't know if you
yes,
heard about that.
I heard about it.
Oh, about how
so.
They had to pull his they little scene
pull?
With the fucking
yeah.
Oral
Batman,
sex.
Yeah, Batman
oral sex.
And cunnilingus do not go together.
No, they're not allowed to oral
bullshit.
Sex the Batwoman.
Yeah, that's
as
some bullshit.
DC said,
because Batwoman.
As DC says, heroes don't do that.
Yeah, well.
I've been called a hero for doing that too much.
You're goddamn right.
Get the fuck out of here.
Listen,
no.
Heroes go down. That's what
yeah,
I say.
That's absolutely true. Because if you're a villain, you wouldn't go down.
No, you
wouldn't. The way
I'm looking at you,
you're
DJ Khaled.
Just the way it is. Yeah. Yeah, DJ
That's
Khaled.
Super selfish ass villain.
The non-huggable, probably doesn't give great hugs, DJ Khaled.
I came up with
don't trust
joke.
A man who just, needs to be serviced.
Just yells his own name all the time.
I've been trying to come up with a joke to promote my podcast on stage when I do stand-up comedy. So I thought, I know, it's so fucking hard.
Wait a minute, a comedian with a podcast.
I know. Unheard of. and one that shamelessly plugs in his act. Not a fucking chance. But I was like, wait a minute. Batman would go down on Catwoman faster than his parents went down in that alley.
Wow.
And that's a solid joke.
Wow. I mean,
that is a great joke.
Dark. Yeah. I love it. It hits home. Fine. I'll say it every time.
It hits the Wayne home specifically.
Yeah.
In a big way.
Wayne Manor. To be specific.
Wayne Brady.
Wayne Manor.
Is Wayne Brady going to have to choke a bitch?
Bruce Wayne Brady?
Bruce Wayne Brady.
That's a Wheel of Fortune puzzle.
I was just going to fucking say Wheel of Fortune
Dude,
before and
gotta
after.
Gotta get up pretty early around here.
Legitimately.
I'm in the host chair. I'm at the head of the table now.
Run this shit.
I gotta, yeah, that's right.
I'll keep swinging back to cartoons, man.
Cool. Because I need to be the funniest person here, otherwise the show doesn't work.
My most worst, darkest joke.
Say it.
Lay it on.
Ready? Okay.
Please.
So... I don't feel bad for Make-A-Wish kids who want to be police chief for a day because the only good cop is a dead one.
Wow.
My darkest, darkest, darkest joke.
Fucking
the worst
hell.
The worst one I've ever thought of.
Well, I hope you liked your podcast before it got canceled.
Wow.
Dude.
Jesus.
Legitimately the worst. I rip on cancer kids and police at the same time.
Listen,
awful.
I've seen comedians do roast battles, and Pete Davidson talks about how his dad died on 9/11 in a roast battle. So you're fine.
I legitimately thought of the worst thing I could think of.
Dude, honestly.
But here's the thing, though, in regards to Pete Davidson's thing, is when you have a parent who's passed on, it's an unspoken rule that you have access to the darkest jokes you could come
For
up with.
Sure.
This is true.
Like
you have to.
You have to. And yeah. Me and my buddy Scotty both unfortunately share this bond. Our dads have both passed on. So me and him, when we're at parties and we don't like the people we're at,
dad
we
jokes.
Both make the look and we're like, it's time for some dead dad jokes.
Yes. Let's kill this party right now.
I watched a roast battle at the stand, and one girl's sister was dead, and all three jokes in a row were about her dead sister.
I mean, you have to go.
Nobody gives a fuck.
You have to go for the most vulnerable
easily.
And the darkest
so,
you're right.
joke.
You're,
you have to.
It's,
because
it's,
that's where the line is, and everything
and
after that is
the
even if it feels
from.
Tasteless. That's where you have to go with it.
Totally.
Right? You have to absolutely
and
go
comedians want to go there with each other. Only the
right.
public, the people
absolutely.
With no sense of humor are the ones who are like, you can't do that.
And if you go there in a direction that's still going to be funny regardless of the material, mm-hmm. welcome to 2021 where you can be a writer in comedy. And it's still going to hit. Anybody who's complaining about, it's this woke culture bullshit. It's canceling me.
Roast battles
bullshit.
Are
just get
a
better
new
at
frontier.
Writing.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's how it is. And roast battles are the frontier. For
I just,
sure.
Yes. I just
being mean to other comedians. And mm-hmm. they're just like okay with it. Because it's
because they can take it. Because they know.
It's an art form.
Of the show.
Exactly.
Right.
Yeah. Y'all are entertainers and you realize it.
Yeah.
I have to say this fucking horrible joke that
Please.
I just
You have
past.
A dead dad Jeez. Joke?
No. It
okay.
Was a,
I'm like, way to bring
someone,
the show down in the first
posted,
6 minutes.
Someone posted this on Reddit.
I have a shitty pickup line that I've used. Are you a toaster? Because I'd love to take a bath with you.
I love that fucking
it's
joke.
So
I love
good.
That. I witnessed that joke in life, and it was great. That crowd didn't appreciate it.
Oh, it's so good.
Man.
All right.
Man.
But this joke
was
is...
that during your crowd work?
Yes.
Awesome.
1,000% my
crowd
work.
Crowd work is tough, man.
I'm trying to get better
go
at
ahead,
it.
Go ahead, Christian. What you got?
Person. Singers probably know which note they moan when having sex. And someone replied, well, I'm no singer, but I know that R. Kelly moans in A minor.
Ooh! That's that's great.
Damn.
That's so good.
I thought
Damn!
So good. I thought
that
it was going to be about the D.
hot!
That
so good.
That is a good joke.
Fucking brutal.
Man.
Oh,
A minor.
I got one more, probably
about.
Not as good,
Hell
but
yeah.
it's it's in relation to the Fast and Furious memes that are going around right now, and I think you'll know the direction
know.
It's going in.
I'm pretty.
Why
pretty
is well. Reverse cowgirl illegal in Alabama? Because you can't turn your back on family.
No! Oh, no! God. fucking shit.
I saw Vin Diesel's face as he read the joke.
I love Chris Abala with the video.
I am. I'm feeling. Well, Christian refuses to get on camera, but he says some of the funniest shit during the course of the show. So I need to have some B-roll so I can splice him in.
Abala podcast experiment.
That's right.
We are experimenting with Chris Abala. He's
with an amateur comedian. I'm here with two professionals and one jackass who just thinks he's funny.
I
thought I was the jackass.
You and I are in a race to the bottom for biggest jackass.
If there's the jackass here, that is most definitely Joe Weber.
Yeah, 1,000%. I sold out.
Fuck you.
I sold out. I took a server job at a comedy club to get a host gig.
Paying dues.
I thought that's dedication.
Listen, everybody has worked the door at the comedy store and all that stuff. Come on. Everybody's had to work the club.
Exactly.
To get to that point.
What's in my pocket right now? Tickets to a comedy show.
What?
To hand out to whoever the fuck
nice.
I see.
This dude is about his business. He came prepared. He's like, I realize I'm on the show with one other person, but check out my tickets, everybody. I got a show coming up at the Chuckle Hut. And if you all want to come out.
Hut has way more notoriety.
I'm hosting open mic on a Wednesday night. Oh, is it Uncle Vinny's? Okay.
It is Uncle Vinny's.
I'm not going to insult Uncle Vinny's.
No, it's a great comedy club. On air.
You're really selling it.
On air, it's a great comedy club.
No, seriously. Dino's does a good job packing the house. We had some solid comics come out.
We got Adam Ferreira coming up.
Yeah, so nice.
Pumped. Joey Diaz loves us. He's going to be back.
Joey Diaz is a solid guy.
Recovering from knee surgery. Funny thing about first time I did Joey Diaz, I got a joke about my hometown, Kearney. And beer podcast. I'm going to burp into the mic. I'm sorry.
He has a lot of carbonation flowing.
Whoopsie.
We've said that
I'm here
before.
Drinking water because
I'm
a
squid.
I say
it on my podcast all the time.
Our secret power is that Joe was also the co-host of this podcast the last time we did this podcast. That's his secret power.
No, Joey Diaz, he's like, oh, my God, that kid said something about Kearney. I went to school in Kearney at St. Cecilia's. And I'm like, oh, my God, you went to St. Cecilia's? I know that church. I used to run past it when I ran across country. He's like, oh, yeah, I went to St. Cecilia's, a Catholic school. I got kicked out for punching a nun. I'm like, oh.
Wait a minute. Was this Joey Diaz or Bobcat Goldthwait?
Joey Diaz.
Because all of a sudden it was like, I got kicked out for punching a nun. Goldthwait.
If you want to read it, Bobcat
Goldthwait. That is an old. That is
I love
old.
Well, you just kind of delved into a
Bobcat. I am not
Bobcat.
A good impressionist. In my brain, I can sound exactly like them. But the
like,
only good ones I can do.
To that school.
Only yeah, it was one time I was going. Bobcat Goldthwait.
Wait, so is that part of your act, or you were just
kibitzing
with him?
Oh no!
You're passing up a good joke. While we're being offensive, let's talk about this.
No, you need to say
I would do cross country pass there when I was in elementary school because the priest would keep me on my feet, keep me moving. I mean, there's something in there. Listen, let that. Right? Let that cook for a bit.
I didn't run for the Catholic school, I swear to God.
No, just off the top of my head.
Chris Abalo.
Yes, sir.
Chris Abalo, I would like to ask you something. What
Whose show
you...
is this?
Okay, I don't know.
Ahead,
I'm not sure. It's a
crossover. Yeah, we didn't answer
of crossover.
Shit on your podcast. We just made a bunch of really... We made a bunch of crazy jokes. So
What made
ahead.
You want to do a podcast? What made you bring... You know,
as people very new into it,
gotcha.
We're gonna pick your brain off.
Okay,
podcast for this
all
entire
right,
rest
fine.
Of the hour. Let's go.
I'm Chris Abalo, and welcome to my masterclass.
Mm-hmm.
So
honestly,
okay. So the short version is, and look, we do have. I will go over this if you've heard the story before, down the years or in various bits and pieces over the episodes. Then I'm gonna give a fuller version of the story here because we have a lot of new followers, a lot of new subscribers, with now the show being on all the apps. A noticeable increase in the audience. So if you don't know, here's a probably not brief enough version of the story. So my friends and I in 2008, it was after my first 2 years in L.A., graduated school, moved back here to Jersey. We started getting together for dinner at my friend Andrew's house. And that's where I met also Ryan, two guys who are regularly on this show. And the idea was just well, we all want to hang out anyway. Let's get together and just cook dinner because we'd be going out to dinner and sitting in a booth and whatever anyway. And his parents had a finished basement with like a bar and everything. So we'd cook dinner in the kitchen and hang out. And our girlfriends were there. And we kind of rotate, like, 1 week the guys would cook. Next week the girls would cook. And it was just a way of like hanging out every Wednesday night. We did that for months. And we also just had our rhythm. Like Ryan and Andrew and myself had this. And that's kind of the best way I can describe it, like this rhythm with our conversation. And we always try to one up each other with, you know, by saying funny shit and, you know, everything else. And obviously trying to make the ladies laugh. And we would do this when we go out at restaurants or when we'd be checking out in line somewhere. And you guys know the difference between the polite laugh and the genuine laugh.
Right.
There are plenty of servers. To be gender neutral about it. Plenty of servers who will be like, huh, and give you the polite laugh
customer
or polite
service
smile.
Voice. Yeah, nine, exactly. Like, oh, my God.
And but you know when it's genuine, like when you're really right. making somebody laugh.
Right.
So we would do that just by being ourselves. And we kept saying, we got to do something about this. What should we do? You know, we should figure something out. And the whole thing was we initially said, like, we should make a movie. Well, nobody had the discipline to sit down and write a movie at the time because we were all in our mid to late 20s. And we were just like, how do you even make a movie kind of thing? But now in 2008, podcasts weren't nearly that prevalent. The only original podcast I listened to was Smodcast, Kevin Smith's podcast. Like I heard different things like radio shows that were then podcasted in like a, you know, kind of a abridged versions of
the
broadcast.
They didn't make to XM, they went to podcast.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
At that time, yeah. And I said, maybe we should do a podcast. Maybe that's something we should look into. So we talked about it for a long time. Finally in 2010, we bought like a mixer, like a legit like recording, like small version of a studio mixer, karaoke microphones, and learned how to work it, and then just started recording June 30th of 2010. So we just passed the 11-year anniversary of recording our first two episodes of the only podcast that matters.
So that is wild. That is a huge milestone. Mm-hmm. 11 years of recording.
So much.
Yeah. Yeah. On and off. There have been breaks, particularly in CAPE in between.
Oh,
at some various times.
But 11 years of recording.
I also want to hear the sure. original soundboard that definitely has all the drops that you guys made.
You guys have a sweet
That was prior to...
I know you have some sick sound drops.
We don't, actually, because that was prior...
Probably got you in trouble if you played them now.
Oh, no.
Well, no, we actually did because this is before all that stuff. I mean, if you had like a... I mean, now you can get that stuff. Or frankly, you just program it in your phone. You can just have a soundboard and just cue up different sounds and music and things like that, which is fun. But at the time, it was just four friends in a room in what later became Andrew's apartment. And we just talked for an hour. We'd pick a subject. Whatever the subject was the title of the show. Mm-hmm. So it was the first episode was First Cast because it was the first one. The second one, we talked about astrology. Astrocast. Food cast, TV cast, film cast, you name it. Like, that was the theme. And after the first year, I said, do you guys want to maybe not... call the show Noun Cast. Right. Should we maybe like drop that theme? They're like, no, it's
although,
funny. We should keep it.
Noun Cast sounds like a decent.
That's a title
podcast.
that's yeah. still sitting in the hopper that we never used. We did
just make it a title of a podcast.
We called an episode
Nouncast.
That Cast because I thought it was funny.
Yeah.
So there's an episode called That Cast, which is a really funny episode.
Well, yeah. This is
where
the one
we utilize the Inception sound, actually. That was our one thing. But we had a microphone because there was only three of us. We put a microphone in front of the computer speakers. I was literally hitting the space bar to cue up. This was super low tech in 2011, everybody. We had to figure it out. Like, this is DIY like, to the nth degree.
It's like these guys were posting on GoDaddy in 2010.
We bought our site on
when
GoDaddy.
Danica Patrick and that other chick from that
it's like,
weight
it's
loss
like
show.
These guys were doing it before it was a popular thing, before it was a real thing. They were a part of the first wave, you know?
Yeah.
Along with Ming Chen and everyone else, you know?
The big shows in
first ideas.
Also launched in 2010, funnily enough, if I'm remembering this correctly, I may be wrong, but I believe in like February-ish 2010 was when Nerdist started. And I think it was the beginning.
Hardwick,
and I think it was the beginning of 2010, maybe the tail end of 2009 when WTF with Marc Maron started.
I think you guys were so like good. 2 or 3 years behind Smodcast.
Smodcast was 07. Yeah. So, yeah, we were just 3 years, a little over 3 years. But we spent the summer.
That's right on the cusp. You guys are like on the fucking bleeding pulse of this podcast thing, man.
I mean,
like,
we
were out there beforehand. You know,
it's interesting because We debated about the title, and I came up with the title, The Only Podcast That Matters, because I just said, let's just put it out there. Yeah. We're just going to call this The Only Podcast That Matters, and everybody was just completely on board. And I will never come up. Listen, Chris Abalo's...
That is a great fucking title.
Chris Abalo's podcast experiment will always be the second best title I ever came up with, okay? The Only Podcast That Matters doesn't get any better than that. It's a shame it was wasted on that show. Just kidding, guys. Just kidding. But...
Fuck you.
Yeah, fuck you other guys. I'm doing my own show now. But it was like we didn't know how to approach it, and we weren't like performers, comedians, anything like that. I mean, Andrew and I were playing in a band together at the time, but like nobody had like a public profile. Like we weren't doing something else. And everybody who had a podcast, at least at that point, like Chris Hardwick was on TV and was doing comedy. Mark Maron had done radio and been doing comedy forever. Kevin Smith.
Mark Maron blew up so much on WTF. He had Obama.
He did.
Like, holy shit.
Yeah. While he was in office. Which is a big, big, big deal.
You guys were like the first underground podcast available.
Yes.
Like there were podcasts, but there was like Smodcast, and there was like a couple famous comedians, and there was you guys.
Well, back in 2010. Only because you're saying it. I will say, I guess we probably were in the way that we were consistent, because we did for 4 years before kind of putting the show to bed temporarily, which we knew was temporary at the time.
Was the term podcast even popular at the time?
Yeah.
You know?
It was. Wow. Because at the time, the only place you can put your show out was on iTunes.
Okay.
I mean, you could go to somebody's website and download it manually, which is how I got Smodcast initially, and especially because they got killed.
Right,
what they eventually
distributing podcasts.
It was just iTunes was your only option. If you weren't on iTunes, excuse me, then you just couldn't be found. Like, to be found, you had to be on iTunes.
Right.
And
Rogan didn't start until 2009.
Right.
So.
Which is the distinction I draw, and I don't mean. Look, there's no way I can compare with those guys in any
right.
sense.
Right, he had a full blooming audience.
But
beforehand.
But for him to jump on
that and take credit for
don't compare any of us with Rogan.
Yeah.
No. I'm saying as somebody who takes credit for the podcast boom, it's 4,000% Joe Rogan. But for him to do it so late as 2009, so many huge podcasts were out well before then.
Yeah.
Well, before
but what
that.
Helps? Enter the night what was a what was right. a huge help for Joe Rogan, for Mark Maron, and for Nerdist, and I'm not shitting on anybody here, but they're guest-oriented shows. So they're bringing in people every week at somebody who has an audience.
Yeah.
Right.
And our show was just a group
folk.
Exactly. Right. So people are going to come in because it's like I like Patton Oswalt, so I will listen to this episode of WTF. Oh, the host is funny. I will subscribe and continue checking out the show. And same with Joe Rogan. Like, Joe Rogan's the least interesting part of the Joe Rogan experience.
I can't believe that we're the first podcast to have you on cross-promotion.
Right.
You guys are the first to ask. So I've offered to a shitload of people.
So here's my question for you then. So for a lot of podcasts, especially if they're starting out and go 4 years... and let alone don't get asked to be on another show, especially when you're starting, what made you continue versus just like, I'm done? Because you obviously do have an audience. There are people that listen to you.
Right.
It's not like Joe Rogan, but there's a dedication.
We have, yeah.
Chris Abalo podcast experiment has been going for 11 years.
Well, no, this has been going for 8 years.
8 years.
Oh, this part.
Yes. So this... I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, but that was genuinely it. Like, what made you continue this even knowing that, like, because a lot of people would get to, like, where you're at and be like,
I'm done.
There's no growth.
There's
20 episodes, that's 50%. So, like, if you get past 20 episodes, you are doing better than 50% of all podcasts.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
Honestly, a lot of people I had on in the past, other podcasters, would get to 12 episodes and be like, it's too much work. I don't want to pay, $15 a month for Libsyn, which was like the other option circa 2013.
I can't imagine stopping at this point.
Yeah. And that's it.
And
with anything.
Are infinite. Like,
you guys, absolutely. And craft beer.
We can't run out.
Right.
But you can also revisit shows as well, and it depends
Absolutely could get... double back on shows we've done.
You can just focus in on seasons.
I would be willing to do a Futurama with you.
I would too.
I know that we did it with Brian Rodriguez already.
Yes, one third of
the damn
long hairs.
See, yes. He knows what he's what we're talking about.
Right.
He's
a fan of our show.
I do research as well.
We love you for that. You have no idea.
Dude, that's the way you're supposed to host a fucking show. You're supposed to. Right. The fact that you guys came in, you're like, hey, the only podcast that matters. I'm like, wow, you guys are great.
Exactly.
No, I remember you had Respect the Blackout, and they talked about having three thumbs. And now I know.
You're like,
now
oh, we got to get this fucking guy on. You okay over there, Christian? Christian's throwing up in the corner, everybody. Sorry. Sorry.
It came out his nose. Came out the nose.
You heard it too, right?
What? What happened?
I love Christian.
Oh, my God.
What happened?
When you were talking about Respect the Blackout,
BK,
you said threefums.
Did he? And it just
killed me. But I was like, oh no, I had a drink, and then I was leaning over because it was starting to come out of my fucking
Big
nose.
Kahuna lost his mom.
Awesome. Oh, well, there's that's the episode title. Take 175, threefums.
With the number three
with
FEMs.
Comics, cartoons, and crap.
The number three FEMs, threefums. Yeah.
Threefums.
Wait,
FUMs.
Wait. Okay,
dude, this last beer is for you.
Let's
just say that. If we're gonna get more gems like that, all yours,
Chris Sabalo.
You bought them.
I'm gonna ask you a question.
Yes.
What was the most trying time in your
summer 2012?
What happened?
Summer 2000. Okay. So here is, which is so funny. I was just talking to the guys. Quick sidebar, and this is something that we're talking about for a Patreon exclusive, because obviously if you follow the show on Patreon, or I should say support the show on Patreon, patreon.com/CapePod.
Cape Podcast.
That's right.
What's up?
Then you're hardcore, and that will include, I'm going through, because I am the keeper of the archive as well for obviously this show and the only podcast that matters. I inherited
that's
that archive.
John.
Terabyte drive.
Yeah.
That's John for ours.
4 terabyte drive.
Oh, man.
Dude, 216 episodes of the only podcast that matters, and this is Cape 175. So it adds up quick.
It's got to be on there.
Yeah. It's a lot. It's a lot
stressful.
Of stuff.
It
is.
You start thinking about it, and it's like,
it's a lot of stuff accumulated, especially over the years. You know, again,
and you
not
start editing video, and it's like, oh, this is way more.
Yeah.
Like,
oh yeah.
This is way more data.
It's a lot. It takes up a lot of space.
I'm sorry. But go ahead.
It's all right. So we actually talked about. I said we should get together, the four of us, and like do a, like kind of talk about it, like upon reflection, because we talked about it at the time and what was going on. But I was like, now that we're kind of arm's length away from that show, and Cape has essentially evolved into the closest to the only podcast that matters that will be, because everybody's still involved, the main four of us.
Right, you could talk about the old podcast.
Right.
Because it's been a while.
Right. And the good, the bad, and the ugly about it, we were going to do that as a Patreon exclusive show. We were going to come here literally to this Bellwork studio, which is where we are, which, by the way, started this recording at 12:47 a.m., because that's how it goes, everybody. I showed up and just completely derailed CCCB because, as Christian well knows, it's like Chris Abala rolls in. They're going to fucking talk for an hour,
1:15.
And it's never. Yeah, it's 1:15.
I don't have an
like
entire
not even halfway through the show.
Tomorrow. I'm going to keep drinking. Fuck
which
it.
Is fine, which is why I'm the only one here. Unfortunately, Ryan didn't make it. He was supposed to be here. Next time.
He's got children. It's fine.
He does. He's got a near 2-year-old he's got to take care of.
Oh,
and a real
sprinting.
Job.
That kid is sprinting around his house. He's trying to keep up. Good
probably.
For him.
He's probably not asleep anyway.
Godspeed for him anyway.
So basically, we did kind of want to talk about the history, and also I want to do the full history of Cape, but I thought it'd be self-indulgent for me to sit and just talk about it myself.
We are picking your brain on it. Like,
oh, that's
fine.
We would
love to know the full history.
And I haven't kind of gotten into this stuff, which is why I'm happy to talk about it now, because
absolutely.
You guys are asking. So what happened with doing the show weekly, and we never missed a week those first nearly 3 years, every Friday, new episode.
Damn.
But what happened was, so we had fun doing the, to kind of answer Christian's question from a half hour ago, we were basically having fun just doing the show, and we wanted to use it as a springboard for other stuff. We started doing sketch videos on YouTube. We started writing a couple of different things, and we were doing weekly blogs. The four of us are writing a blog.
Wait.
Once a week.
Can you describe one of the sketch videos?
Sure. We had one where we got arrested going through airport security. The four of us, that was the first one I wrote and directed. We had one which was a PSA to stop taking things from Liam Neeson, because if you remember in the early 2010s, there was a string of movies. Some of them were called Taken, some of them weren't, but they were Taken movies.
Some of them were as Liam Neeson, as a bad cowboy.
We did
Thousand Ways to Die in the West.
Yeah.
Don't do it.
I know that
don't
movie's bad, but I love that movie.
Dude, I've never seen it, but it's one that I would like to watch now because I'm sure it's funnier than I thought it would be at the time.
It's fun. Don't expect much, but it's so much fun.
Liam Neeson, like,
and that came from Family Guy, where they made fun of Liam Neeson trying to be a cowboy with his super fucking accent. He's like, "Oh, let me wrestle off some
There was another video, another sketch video, where I play Liam Neeson because I do a really good Liam Neeson impression, where I kidnap our friend Jack because he's a huge Star Wars fan.
Wait, Jack Steiger?
What? Jack that I used to work with.
Yes, Jack. Oh, that's right. Yeah, we have another connection. So
Jack's a great guy. He got
Weber used to work with Jack DeFranco
at a call center, and he told me a lot about Star Trek. And Star Trek. Actually.
Star Trek.
Yes, the movies specifically. Mm. He told me which movies were good and which movies were bad, and that was
even number three. Well, Jack's a film snob, so he probably would do
that. The one
that
starts with Beastie Boys is bad.
That's the only one I like.
Beastie Boys is bad.
Just to be clear,
I'm gonna watch it.
No, it's fucking not.
Star Trek Beyond.
Watch it specifically.
Star Trek Beyond is the second best Star Trek movie. We all know the first greatest Star Trek movie is Galaxy Quest.
You're not wrong.
He's right.
Holy shit!
And the best Star Wars movie that there ever will be is Spaceballs.
Yeah.
Plain and fucking simple. Plain and fucking simple.
Right. I mean,
Chris,
this is why you
guys have experience.
I never
thought
it in this
That's
light.
Why you guys come
but
on.
Yes.
You say experience one more time, I'm going to whip this at your head.
Wait.
I swear to God.
Experiment.
It's okay. I'm just kidding. I got to wrestle back control now that I'm in the host chair.
Is this
me and Jack
were.
We're
all having
an
experience. That's for sure.
Experience.
Anyway, so you and Jack, sorry, we're gonna tangent alert, everybody.
We worked at a call center together, and I mentioned the new Star Wars movie. He's like, they're okay, but these are the good ones.
Wait,
the
Star Wars? Now you said Star Wars. Was it Star Wars or
I'm
Star
gonna
Trek?
Fuck
wait,
up.
Wait. The Phantom Menace is so bad.
That's Star Wars.
No, the Phantom Menace.
Star
he gets
Trek.
Chopped in half.
He comes back for Clone Wars.
That's the end of the movie. It's bad.
Liam Neeson dies in that one.
Bad.
Oh, man. But Star Trek,
I watched it with
Jack
my dad.
Told me
it was bad.
The odd ones are good.
I did
or
it
no.
with
even
mine.
Ones are bad.
No, the even ones are good.
Okay.
The even number theory is a real thing.
No,
the Wrath of Khan.
The Wrath of Khan.
I don't know. So, I'm not a,
when he's...
What is going on over here?
The Liam Neeson death scene is what's happening, and I feel it the same way. I'm not going to lie. Qui-Gon Jinn should never have died. He would have prevented Darth Vader from happening.
Exactly.
That's an entire Star Wars thing.
We're going to write some fan fiction.
I'll do it. Anyway.
Sorry, we're going to bring back Qui-Gon Jinn, everybody. You said you wanted the voice. Coming through the microphone, it sounds even better. I don't know your podcast, but I will find you. And I will...
Comics, I will, cartoons, and crap.
I will gut you with an empty beer can. That was one of the sketch videos we did. I played Liam Neeson. Jack played himself because Jack is crazy about Star Wars toys and loves the prequel movies despite being how bad they were. So I was Liam Neeson basically giving him a dressing down and electrocuting him. I have a particular set of skills.
I have a particular set of skills.
So it was stuff like that. We're doing the news with Macho Man Randy Savage. Jack played Macho Man.
Yeah.
Three episodes of that were excellent.
That's so fucking good.
So we were doing videos twice a month because they were a little harder to coordinate, and then we were doing the show. So yeah, summer 2012, when the wheels first kind of started to come off, was we were doing the weekly show. We're doing two videos a month, and I always like because as you guys know, consistency is a big part of
this. Chris Abalo,
yes sir.
You started WWE.
In what way? You mean I start WCW because I'm competing with my old show?
No, I mean like you're talking about wrestling before anyone gave a fucking shit about it. And that means you are representing WWE right now.
I didn't know you were a wrestling fan. Let's go into
conversation. Jack is.
Delving
Jack
into
that is Jack's
okay. Gotcha.
The serious shit right now.
Jack will be doing a Patreon exclusive wrestling oriented bit which I'm pretty sure at this point you're invited.
Damn.
Just because you just popped her out. I heard it hit the bottom
Damn.
Of the table.
Damn.
So
I'm down with that.
I was at my friend's house and we were playing a wrestling NES game, and then we switched over to the Wheel of Fortune NES game, and the first puzzle we solved was the Honky Tonk Man, and it shattered our 9-year-old existence. So
awesome.
Yeah.
That's surprising that would have been in a Wheel of Fortune game day.
I'm sure it referenced Elvis because NES was that old, but this at the same true. Time, Honky Tonk Man was a wrestling icon. So
right.
Fuck. Like, I need to.
Home movies referenced the 70s and 80s a lot.
A lot.
They're heavily referenced, centered in the 80s, 90s.
And it's H. John Benjamin, Archer,
right.
Bob Burgers. You would.
Come and on. Home Movies was Brendan Small.
Yes, absolutely.
Who did Metalocalypse, right. Which we just spent at least an hour talking about.
A little more than
Metalocalypse.
You'll probably hear about an hour of it once all the turds have been sifted out.
Whoa!
So, you...
Yeah. Christian, you want to switch chairs? Turn channel 3 all the way down, please. Channel 3 all the way down. Thank you.
He's so fucked up.
Sorry, who is?
Pickles.
Wow.
Yeah, he is so messed up.
Cocaine.
That's Dr. Roxo.
That's Roxo.
Where were we?
Dr. Roxo.
Chris the Bob podcast experiment.
You giving us a lot of tips on podcasts, because honestly, like, you are the veteran. And we're 30 episodes in.
Well, if you had to tell a young Chris Sabalo something, what would you tell him? If you
buy Apple stock. Fuck podcasting. Buy Apple stock.
God damn it.
Invest in Zoom.
You're not
great.
Yes.
I can't work with Zunes any of this.
Being rich is better than being funny. Invest in Apple stock.
No,
he's right.
I'm right. I've never been rich. I've been funny my whole life. And look at me. I'm sitting here in Homedale.
I've never been
like,
either.
You know, he's absolutely right.
I'm ready to give rich a try.
Oh, no.
But the consistency and having to keep up with the weekly. Now, we brought in other guests. Like, it wasn't just the four of us every single week. We would, you know, because people kind of wanted to be involved. We had friends involved. And, you know, Andrew was married, so his wife would be involved a lot. In part because we were doing it at their apartment, so she'd kind of interrupt us to jump into the show. So she kind of just became part of the fabric of the show. It started to get more difficult. And then as I always wanted to have like extra shows kind of in the can. So that way, if we couldn't get together for a week or two, it was fine. We can still be consistent with a new episode every Friday. In 2012, we started to run out. You know, we're kind of coming up on 2 years and it was okay. Nobody's pitched any new ideas. We have like 2 episodes in the can. We don't have any plans to get together with more. Kind of what are we going to do? And it's not that I never sought out and this is a conversation I've had with the guys in the time since. So this isn't me like putting a perspective on it that wasn't there.
Right.
As
right.
much as I felt it no, at the time, they basically agreed that I never looked to be in a leadership role, or I never looked to be like, this is my thing. This is very much a group. The point was it was supposed to be a democracy.
100%.
But I'm also the person, and I've been this person in jobs and everything like that. If there's nobody at the wheel, I will take the wheel.
Yeah.
Even if it means I'm the asshole for the one who's calling the shots. It's like somebody needs to steer the vehicle. And if nobody's gonna, I will do it.
There's no podcast if there isn't someone who's like that.
Right.
Totally. Any group of any sort.
We try to do some solo episodes every once in a while, but we always try to have a guest spot on. And if that doesn't work out, we do a bro-centric show, like regular show, or we talk about John's favorite cartoon, 12-Ounce Mouse.
Well, we need to get to your favorite cartoon.
We're going to get to that eventually. Yeah. I have a lot of favorite cartoons, but I have to find one that you don't know about so I can teach you.
It was like a special episode, but we didn't even know what was happening.
Right. He was teaching me about 12-Ounce Mouse, which is a cartoon that I knew about and I liked. But I didn't know enough about it.
Right, he was
so
pitching
him schooling
the show.
Me on it and doing a whole clinic on it. It was like a cartoon clinic.
It was like a TED Talk.
Great. Yeah, exactly. And to me, to sit on it, I loved it. So now I'm going to do the same thing back to him.
Yeah.
I got to find a cartoon that he doesn't know about that.
Your butt into the podcast.
He's going to edit my butt into a soundboard of just sound clips of me saying embarrassing things. That'd be great.
If it's your favorite,
that's a good idea.
If it's your favorite cartoon, it's all you.
Yeah, oh, I know. I'm gonna do this shit. But,
yeah.
I got a lot of options, but there's always some backup plan that we have. Mm-hmm. So we have all of July planned out. I got a friend for Dragon Ball Z. I've had a friend for Filmation. We're gonna do a lot of things.
But
so,
no, really, we can't. I can't thank you enough for being on our podcast.
Absolutely. Oh, of course.
Yeah, I'm happy to be asked, honestly. Yeah, I like what you got. What you guys are doing is something that, like, well, it obviously is an audience for, because you didn't put your names in the show like some egotistical maniacs do. So
it's in the
you
intro.
Got the right
it's
idea.
Fine.
That's fine. But if someone goes looking for it, they're not like
our names a lot.
Yeah, but it's not right there. Like, here's a guy who's full of himself because his name is in the show, even though it's not called
Comics,
the Chris Abala show.
As far as we get, we're both funny people. That's all it works.
I'm sorry, but Cape Podcast is still a cool name.
Thanks, man. Yeah. I've yet to take a promo photo of me in an actual cape, but I'm sure it's inevitable.
We'll do it right now.
I'm going to pull down one of these curtains, exactly. And I'm going to wear a velour cape. I'm going to be like the Zap Brannigan of Shared Universe.
I was going to make a Zap. I said velour.
Told you, got to get up early around here, dude.
Yes.
See, I was in a lower gear when I was a guest on your show, but now that I'm a host, it's just all cylinders are firing. So.
Listen, I look like Fry, so I'll go deep.
You do. Oh, my God. We're going to do a live action fan fiction thing.
I was in for 2 Halloweens. Because it was a cheap-ass costume for a red jacket. Fuck it.
Oh. Young lady, I'm an expert in humans.
Well, Kif is...
You all right
like,
over there, Christian? You didn't know. You know I pull out impressions.
I know,
like
but
crazy,
I just
but
wasn't expecting Zoidberg.
Why not Zoidberg?
Which is so funny that that's the meme, and he's never said that line.
No,
how did that
Mandela.
Become the meme?
Mandela is shit. It's
yeah.
Why not? Yeah. That's all he says. The
right.
most... In 2 words in a row is Mandela. Why not?
And the wonderful thing happened. Why not? Yeah. Took a while. I spent a lot of time by myself in the car trying to nail impressions down. Clearly,
it was that.
I was a lonely kid too.
It was that whole him talking to his uncle Harold Zoid,
mm-hmm.
who was
yes.
the black and white film, and then he and his voice didn't fit
mm-hmm.
the sound era, and so they canceled him and all that other shit. But yeah, no, Zoidberg is the character. Of Futurama for me. Like,
yeah.
he is my number one, other than Scruffy, because Scruffy's a saint and deserves all of the praise imaginable.
100%.
Thank you. Scruffy, I understand. He understands. Scruffy believes in this company.
Scruffy, the janitor.
I've never seen you before.
I've never seen you either.
He has a deep love interest with the Bucket, who's in Name's body.
Wash Bucket. We can never be.
Wash
go
bucket.
Before I beg you to stay.
Don't get me started.
That
man.
Was
I'm
so
telling
great.
You.
It's like Amy.
I was. See, why wasn't I shoveling all this gold when we were doing your show?
It's.
Oh, right. I wanted to carry the positive momentum from your show into mine because I'm also a prick.
A skew. dude.
Oh, my God.
Next up, King of the Hill characters. Anyway, so.
That's not
what are we talking about?
That's my purse. I don't know you.
See, you're Bobcat Goldthwait territory again.
I don't know you. Bobby.
That's my purse. I don't know you.
Exactly.
You're close.
This is
That's
dope
close.
Moment in the show.
It is. And a meme.
Dude.
So what?
Appreciate you having us on.
Oh, of course. Of course.
Absolutely.
I'm happy you guys are here. I'm happy you wanted to do it. And, you know, that we're the shared universe has brought us all together, which is great.
We're learning a lot, and you are a veteran podcaster. So.
Well, thanks. I appreciate that. So how Cape came about, just to kind of skip a little
Keep
bit ahead
on.
In the story. Summer 2012 was rough, and I'll get into the nitty-gritty of all that with the other guys as far as what was actually happening, because I don't think it's been discussed in detail, and I don't want to discuss it here just by myself. I feel like it'd be a more fair conversation to talk about us hitting the skids in summer 2012. But in fall of 2012, I moved back to L.A. Mm-hmm. And I came home. I got there September 22nd, which I remember because that was my sister's birthday. And I came back for that Christmas. And they were kind of in charge of maintaining the show. Well, we hadn't banked any episodes. So they were doing the show essentially without me for 3 months, even though I was still editing and kind of helping them out on that end. So that's also when Hurricane Sandy happened. So they were sending me files just in case because a bunch of them did have power outages and things like that. So I was helping remotely. Before remote work was a thing. See, I was ahead of the curve on that. No, I'm kidding. But
super before COVID.
I came home at Christmas and we did a bunch of shows and it just, I felt rusty. And I said, I haven't done a show for 3 months after doing it for over 2 years. Like, I need something to kind of keep me going. And I moved back to LA in February of 2013. And I said, I should just do something, even if it's on my own. Maybe I can have other people on to interview or to be guests or whatever. I'll figure it out along the way. But I said, I need to do something to keep myself in shape. So that way, when I go home, we bank episodes, then and then spread them out. So I have a presence on the show, continued presence. I said, I want to make sure I'm still good. And that's how I started doing this show.
And that was that was what a lot of comedians did after COVID, because they would they were like 6 months to a year without any stage time.
Yeah,
I had a comedian go up on my on stage at Uncle Benny's, and he goes, he flipped a setup and a punchline. He said the punchline first, and then tried to make the funny part the setup, and it did not work at all. And he goes, "Hold on a sec, watch this." And he shakes his entire body like he's having a fucking seizure. He's like, "That's me shaking the rust off," and dove into another joke. So it's just
real
like
thing.
You have
it's a real thing
a rust to you if you put off anything to a certain extent.
That's
so. I yeah no. It
that's what I've always said. The expression I've always used is shake the dust off, because that's what happens when you just don't do. It's when you don't do anything,
right?
You know, for a while, and then you try to pick it up again. You realize like, oh, I need to kind of sync, especially when you're doing something with a group of people and you're trying to be funny and you're trying to contribute to something like in a group.
Exactly.
Like, even though we're all friends, it was still, yeah, I'm not fully there because I need to get back into show mode or performance mode or, you know, whatever you want
to
call it.
Takes a second to get the cadence back on.
Yeah. So I said, well, let me at least give myself something to work on in between. So when I come home and we do the show, things continue happening. You know, like I can kind of lock back into it a lot more easily. And that's kind of how this show was born. But with me being in LA and there not being someone as much in the driver's seat, I mean, there's only so much I can do when it comes to being encouraging or participating when you're 3,000 miles away.
Right.
A lot of time the shows were in the other guy's hands. In summer 2013, started missing the occasional Fridays. I'm like, okay, well, that's not good. Should we try to bank more shows? Whatever. And communication was always a big problem. Just like in any relationship, communication is wildly important.
Right.
And not everybody wanted to approach the subject of we don't have a show or we don't, you know, have ideas or whatever it is. Like, nobody was talking about if there was a problem or kind of addressing the show, which became frustrating. And basically, long story short, in 2014 in May, when we were hitting around 180 episodes, I said, why don't we just go to 200 episodes and then just take like an open-ended hiatus? And we did. And I said, we'll dole out 20 episodes between May and December. We'll round out the show and that's that. And during that time, I found a studio in downtown. Oh, excuse me. I just had a stroke. Sorry, everybody. that was really weird. It's like
spazzed.
My brain and my tongue were just like, we're not working together for a couple of seconds. We're just going to disengage. But they're back now. So the story will continue. So during the summer of 2014, I had, through a mutual friend, met somebody who was doing a show at a studio in downtown LA. They were doing podcasts and they had a 3-camera setup and just doing like a live broadcast that was being streamed on the website. And of course, you can get the video download and the audio download and everything. I thought, oh, that'd be great if I could just show up and host and I don't need to do all the technical work. Awesome.
Welcome to my entire comedy career. Dude. So show up, host, do a mediocre. That was really hard to say.
See, it's happening to you too.
Holy shit.
We're getting punchy, everybody. It's 2 a.m. practically.
Oh my God. really? No. Host for 10 minutes, do a mediocre 10 minutes, and then introduce the real comics, and then let the show happen.
Yeah.
And it's great.
But you kick ass as a host, though. So don't.
Which is a skill.
It is tough because you're going up cold. And so,
yeah, let's take that off the table completely.
Yeah. So
everybody's like, what is there a bee loose in the studio? No, it's a vibrating cell phone.
Hosting was like a totally different demon because like you have to go in cold.
Right.
You have to crowd work a little bit, which is something I worked on like over a couple of years. Like 1 year after COVID ended and we were open up again, I didn't give a shit. We had like 12 person crowds and I was like, I'm diving in and talking to every person because I have to get used to this shit.
Yeah.
I'm never gonna get to Big J Okerson or Joey Diaz or like other like
never
infamous
say never man or never like, say never with that shit.
But right at the beginning of post pandemic and shit's reopening. Yeah,
but at the same time,
you gotta get the reps in.
Exactly. It's a comedy workout, so I'm going to keep doing that until I get better at it. So we'll see where I end up as host. but I'd like to move up to feature or headline soon.
Sure.
So we'll see what happens, but I got to work on material. It's fucking hard, man. Like
It is. And that's kind of how it is, you know, especially with doing this show weekly. And sometimes it's a bit of a, it's not that it's a grind, and I can't even call it work. It requires a lot of work, but it doesn't always feel like it. And same with doing like the weekly show for so long, like Christian asked about before. It's like, well, we are having fun doing it. And I am one of those people who enjoys the process of putting something together. So like every show was edited, which was necessary in those early days.
Was it also a video podcast? Or
it wasn't,
it,
which in hindsight is something that would have been great to have, but that also wasn't a thing. Between 2010 and 2014.
You guys probably had the better wave to ride.
I mean, now it suits us perfectly because we're also like ready for it. We've done enough of this that we can play to the camera, and that's added a different dynamic to it.
Oh, yeah.
Because now with everybody being on the show and on camera, it helps. But we also wouldn't have known. I feel like that would have been more intimidating at the time. But there are some of those memories and certain stories and moments on the show that are just crystal clear. We just remember exactly how they played out, you know, at the time. But no, there was no video at the time, but we would shoot the sketch stuff, and we kind of had that as our outlet to kind of create beyond. Actually, summer 2012, funnily enough, I started writing a screenplay. We did a documentary because we went to Boston together for a weekend, which was really just one night. It should have been two. But because our photographer friend had moved up there, he did our first photo shoot here in Jersey at Monmouth University, actually. And then he'd moved to Boston. We were like, oh, let's take a group trip up to Boston. We'll film it. We'll do a documentary and we'll get some fresh photos. I mean, the problem is we're not going to look like we're going to look like we're from Boston. We're not Boston based, but it'll be funny. So I had this idea on the back of doing this Boston documentary because I had fun editing it. It turned out into a fun kind of like fly on the wall 45 minute documentary that we just threw up on YouTube just for fun. It wasn't for any purpose other than like, hey, you think we're funny? Here's what it's like hanging out with us for a weekend and, you know, going to Boston and everything like that. It was just kind of a fun experience. And I had so much fun putting that together that I said, I'd like to do something in longer form. So I started working on a screenplay. I don't think I've referenced this before, but what better place than on my own show? Because I wrote it, called The Only Podcast That Matters Goes to Jail. And and it didn't occur to me until later, like, oh, there was an Ernest movie about that. And then I thought, well, that's a nice springboard into like, we can just do, we can save Christmas. We can also get do scared stupid. Yeah, like we can do variations on the Ernest thing. But I thought The Only Podcast That Matters Goes to Jail. And it was, I'm not going to lay out the whole story here, but I started working on this narrative because I said, it'd be really fun to do something like a movie or something longer form. And this was also when like fan, like crowdfunding, like Kickstarter and Indiegogo, when that stuff was kind of getting started. And I thought, wouldn't it be fun to see if we could crowdfund a film? Because at that point, like we talked about with being, you know, in the early days of podcasting and everything, like we didn't have metrics. We didn't know statistics-wise what was going on, how many people were listening. We can only go by like the amount of fans we had on Facebook or Twitter followers or something like that. Like we didn't know, there weren't really... At least not
there
that we were
no
aware
TikTok,
of.
TikTok, there was no hard social media.
Or even it anything just, that we knew about statistics-wise. Right. Like something like eventually...
Nothing was quality watching you.
Yes.
Like they didn't tell you shares or metrics or anything like that.
Right. Yeah. In fact, I only really started paying attention to statistics when I started doing, in January 2015, when I started doing Cape from Skid Row Studios in downtown LA, that... They, because they had a general account anyway, they signed me up for an account with Blueberry, which has basic statistics with a free account. So that was the first time I was able to see and look at like, oh, that's how many people are listening to the show. Oh, that's how many people downloaded this episode. Okay, so the group shows are doing good. The interview shows are doing really good because every person I'm interviewing is then plugging the show in turn. And hopefully some of those people are sticking around, or if they check out the one episode and that's that, okay, but the download numbers are good. So I really wasn't even paying attention to that end of it until 2015. And it's something, at that point, we'd put the other show to bed, so it wasn't something, again, we had much of a measurement for, but just knowing we couldn't keep pace with it, and at the same time, me being kind of fed up, if I'm being honest, with the group dynamic and the idea of, like, we can't coordinate this in a way that's effective, and if that's not going to happen, then it feels like it may just be dying a slow, like, this is whimpering toward an early grave, and I feel like if you have a show called The Only Podcast That Matters, you should probably...
Make it matter.
Yeah, and not let it just kind of whimper, or, you know, slowly get more feet in the grave, as it were.
Like, what do you think are the three ingredients to continuing, not just a podcast, but to, like, have the drive to do it?
You got to be having fun, number one, because any time doing any show has been a drag, it's just like, if your heart's not in it, like, it's just really hard to keep up the motivation to do it, especially if you're doing it on a regular basis, like weekly, which is kind of the minimum.
Fun every episode, 100%.
Yeah, the idea is to have fun. communication is really a big deal, because that was the whole thing where I felt like, you know, I would send out come to Jesus emails to everybody to try to get them on board. And I'm like, come on, guys, let's coordinate.
I'm trying to get better at social media, but as far as us planning episodes that we can release weekly, is it's been tough because my work schedule is ridiculous.
Totally.
But we're working it out, and we haven't missed an episode since before December, I think.
Right. And if anything, last year, you know, Zoom has been a huge help in that.
See, that's the thing. We haven't done a Zoom episode yet. We've been weekly through COVID.
Right.
Before December, we've been in studio. We've been doing it, and we've had guest spots.
For the longest time, you guys were like the only one that would come in. That would be it.
Yeah. And we were on top of it.
Right, which is great. I mean, if you're able to get to the studio, obviously it's way better and you don't need to worry about all the technical elements of it. So you can just show up and just be funny and host and do your thing. Like, that's the good part is that I don't need to worry about anything technically. I mean, as much as I'll create my own master video, you know, and mix the audio track and EQ it and all that other stuff that I do, which I will then chop up into video clips and whatnot. It's the idea that you don't need to handle that in the moment is great, because I can just be present. I can just talk to you guys. And I don't need to worry about all the other elements because Engineer Chris is here taking care of it. So that alone is worth the money.
Right.
On top of also getting a video as a bonus. So yeah, it's definitely, as long as you're having fun, and then communication. And I think if I had to pick a third one that is probably, I mean, even narrowing down to three, I'm like, can I come up with three? But at the same time, what three would be important? I would say goals. Just kind of know where you're going with it and what you want to do with it, because we didn't know when we started, but we use it as a springboard. Yeah. Right.
Cartoons are infinite.
Totally.
There's so many to go through throughout history, and there's so many in development. So we can do this for a very long time. So
oh, yeah.
I'm excited.
Yeah, the type of show you guys do, and you could even, you know, subdivide it by, like, we're talking season one of The Simpsons or something. Like, you could totally, like, do a theme where...
And you talked about Futurama being a big episode for you.
Yeah.
We did it with a band. Mm-hmm. If we eventually end up talking to Billy West, that would be fucking amazing.
Oh god, yeah. He's on my wish list,
but
I guess.
Like, exactly, like, so we can eventually, like, just skew off. So we got a lot to do with this podcast, so.
And that's great. Like, even the idea, like, what's come about in this new version of Cape 3.0, which started first day of lockdown in Jersey, was when I literally pulled the equipment out. I didn't know what I wanted to do with it, which, just to give the chronology of everything. Skid Row Studios closed in October of 2015. I start doing the show from my apartment. The show changes from a live show, 1 hour a week in a studio, to just another douchebag in his apartment doing a podcast.
Right.
And the audience started to drop off. And then my father had to have triple bypass surgery. I left LA and came back here for 7 weeks, dealt my parents out, had to dial back to every other week because I was primarily here to take care of them. Audience dropped off some more.
Life's going to happen.
Yeah. And I didn't know exactly what I wanted to do with it beyond that, because also, unfortunately, LA people can be fickle. And there's a long pre-show conversation semi-recently about all this stuff. So once the show was no longer at the studio, certain people were not participating in the show, which sucked. So I also didn't have as many people who were down to talk. And I thought, I don't know what I want to do with this. So when I hit 100 episodes of Cape, I quietly put it to bed and said, I'm sure I'll come back to it at some point. Cape 101 was first day of lockdown in 2020. So there was a solid, there was a good 4.5 years where I wasn't doing this show at all, because I didn't know what I wanted to do. And at the same time, I didn't want to just, I thought about getting back to it at the beginning of 2017.
When was your first in-person one at the studio then?
Was September. That was also my sister's birthday, September 22nd, 2020, which went up a couple weeks later in October. Just Jack and I went because I found a shared universe from a suggested post on Instagram. And I was like, oh shit, it's a podcast studio. Because ever since Skid Row closed, I was so spoiled by the experience of being in a studio. I'm like, I need to find a studio.
I found it from American Loser. So it's just like, who you know.
That's it. The idea was like, there's a podcast studio. And they've been around? How have I not heard about them?
Right.
Like, how did I get all the way to, I've been home since late 2018.
I can do this. Yeah.
And that's added a whole new dimension to the show, and also reignited everybody else's fire. And the idea of, like, this was our goal was if we could have had a studio, we would have. And having an engineer, so we don't need to keep an eye on the laptop. We don't need to worry about Ryan's dog making a mad dash out of the room as soon as it hears a sound and unplugs something and fucks up the recording, which is something that happened.
Understandable.
And all those other things. And also, as everybody has had kids and things like that, there are other distractions. Yeah, when it comes to doing the show at home. So the idea of having a studio and a place to go and a place with the energy and the vibe and the insanely helpful and supportive guys who work at a shared universe who contribute so much.
Well, I'll be honest with you, because, like, I've sat through a lot of podcasts that have come and go, and I see what works and what doesn't. And the heart aspect of it, like having your heart in it, is true. Like a lot of people forget, like I've seen people who started podcasting, someone who may or may not own a specific comedy club, you may cut that part out if you want to.
I mean, if you say I should, I will.
I know people who start podcasting, right. We're going to go make money immediately. Yeah. No. And then don't do it and blame us. And
it
we're
won't
like,
happen.
We're not here to.
No, that's not how it works.
Yeah, no, not at all. Show. And that's
it's your job to market and do all that. But you also have to have fun with what you're doing and know that you're not going into it making money.
Exactly.
Because if you go into anything that you want to do just to make money,
of course.
You're going to hate it.
Right.
Immediately.
It's a job.
And having been a musician since I was 16, I didn't expect to make money podcasting either. Because I had already gone through so many versions of like, I don't get paid to do this, but I love it.
Exactly.
So I already had that mindset going in. And that was, you know, another speed bump or let's say an area where we parted ways in the group where it was like, we got to make some money doing this. I'm like, okay, how? I don't know, but if we were making money, it'd be easier to get it done. You know, so there are always those kind of hurdles, but ultimately it's like, are you having fun doing it? Cool. That has so much to
do
with
it forever.
And where are you going to go with it? Like the idea of like, we're going to throw out stuff. People who are into the show, great. We're going to give them Patreon exclusives if they want to support the show, because now people are up for that kind of thing because that model has existed. And,
It's scarier to be the first of something, of anything.
Oh, without a doubt.
Like, I even imagine, like, the first couple of people who used Patreon were like,
I don't know how this is going to go.
Well, it came, especially because it comes to such a
pivotal point.
Is this
like an OnlyFans for people who don't make nudes? Is that how the Patreon works?
Exactly.
Like,
it kind of was, actually. There's a lot of nude photos on Patreon.
I'm kind of proud of the fact that the Anderson Harbor Yacht Club will be on OnlyFans.
Yeah,
that's pretty cool.
I think that's fucking hilarious.
Show some feet pics.
You're putting it out there.
You'll get some extra crowds.
Well, here's the thing. OnlyFans isn't just exclusively.
Oh, I know it is.
Oh, if anything,
but that's what
people
makes
were
it so
ducking
funny.
YouTube to jump on OnlyFans.
But that's
Patreon
also
sucks.
That's also the direction OnlyFans is going in anyway, because they're trying to make themselves a more mainstream company and they're gonna forego the billions.
It turned out to not be true. They do want to go mainstream, but they're not.
They're not
going to,
because I'm like, you're getting a cut of billions of dollars. Why would you forego
that much money?
Why would you
fuck
up your own?
That gravy train's not going to go away because plenty of men and women want to show themselves off. And
P-Hub ain't
going to
take over on that either.
No chance.
But also in the era of when YouTube stopped caring about quote unquote stopped caring about the creators, like it was hard to figure out how to finance. Or put money behind what we love doing.
Totally.
Especially when building an audience. And you had one there, but it's like, it's difficult to find that balance because you don't want to lose them by then asking money from them.
Right.
But then at the same time, you know that the loyal ones will absolutely donate a fiver here and
there. For sure.
Because that's the greatest feeling in the world.
I
when you
$5
like...
from my dad every month. I don't give a shit.
Yeah, exactly. I got
of KP?
He owes my sister a lot of child support, so I'll take his $5 every time.
Do you know how proud I was of KP to watch his Patreon go just go up,
skyrocket?
That's awesome.
KP, I'm so happy.
American Loser Podcast, everybody.
Yeah, it's
holy
but like,
shit.
It's you just have to love what you do. And
you
like,
do.
If you come in here and you're like, oh, you're going to
make
hand-fed. Millions. It's not that, man.
No.
You got to come in
it's
here
not
just
gonna
to
be
love.
Hand-fed to
and,
you.
Dude,
what you
I can't.
Put
since,
in the work.
Since the deal with Spotify and Rogan happened, I can't tell you how many people have said, like, hey, you know, Joe Rogan's got to take a spot. That's
nope.
The exception. That's not the
doesn't
rule.
It doesn't happen like that.
No, it
calm
doesn't happen with
down.
Anybody. You can cherry pick any... the best of every category for whatever anybody has done.
Right. What's wild is that even though you've been recording for 11 years, we're still getting to the point where podcasting is reaching new heights.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
You're still,
oh, yeah.
Like, even though you were in the beginning, which is still a huge deal, not many podcasts are.
Right.
But you have been able to ride the wave and continue going and still experience what great things might come from it.
Yeah.
Because... Yeah. Like, now we're entering the era where, like, audio dramas are picking back up again. Like, radio dramas, but just doing it in a podcast form. So, yeah, the Joe Rogan sale to Spotify, because they bought his ass.
Mm-hmm.
Friggin'.
they really did.
Incidentally, my ass is for sale as well. For a lot less.
Same.
Shameless.
Yes, same.
Fund my stupid Talking Boats cartoon, please. But, no, it's like... It's it's cool because now there's a new wave of popularity in podcasts.
Right.
That I saw the same wave happen with like early forms of YouTube and content creating.
For sure.
And in with YouTube, it took 5 years. YouTube, yeah. Especially, it took 5 years.
Which is a million in online years.
Yeah.
Totally.
But for. Yeah. But for 11 years with podcasting, because audio and radio dramas have technically been around for hundreds of years.
Oh, yeah.
This is just kind of a new form of doing it, and it makes it more in the user.
And like, the idea that it's playable on demand is huge for people, because that's also what everyone's used to listening to it. And podcasts are ubiquitous. Service.
Nobody wants to pay for anything.
Right.
But the people who want to support... For Spotify or Apple
Which podcasts. Is the funny part. Yeah, exactly. So, you're already paying for some media. But I'll say this. Cape, the weekly show every Monday, always going to be free. And as a special perk for next week, it's not really a perk. It's just part of the regular Monday show. But for the sake of continuing experimentation, mm-hmm. and also because it just seemed like a good idea. So next week, Cape 176 will be the first Chris-less episode of Chris Abala's podcast experiment. That's right. Ryan Taggart will be guest hosting. I know. It sucks. But everyone should tune in. Ryan Taggart's going to be doing a guest hosting spot.
Now, is this an actual podcast experiment, or is there, like, you have something to do?
It's a little bit of both. It would be nice. You know, I haven't had a break for the last 75 episodes, so there is that. I also have there's an episode that is going to be released probably as a bonus Friday episode at some point in July. Mm-hmm. That information will be forthcoming. Yeah, I just don't like announcing stuff before they happen, but it's coordinated
don't do
with
it.
Something.
That's another
that's,
thing.
Yeah,
that's
I don't like
that. Is literally
I've
another
heard,
tip
I've heard,
for
yeah.
podcasting. That's a tip for anything in life.
Live
yeah.
anything.
Shit happens.
That's the shit that got me in trouble with Anderson.
Yeah.
Anderson was literally supposed to come out last year. And right. Because I thought, oh, I had all this free time in the middle of COVID. Nope. I had all this depression in the middle of
yeah,
COVID.
Yeah, exactly.
Right.
And was, I we all, was yeah. like, nope, I'm yeah, I don't this... I don't want to do anything with talking I'm good. Yep. So
which is the ironic thing, because me, I'm like, I need to keep myself sane. I need something to do. So I was doing this 2 days a week, just checking in with people about how they're handling the pandemic. And now it's turned into us literally
well, if you
sitting
need
here tonight.
Anything to get you through your depression, we got comics, cartoons, and craft beers.
There you go.
That's our fucking promotion.
That's
in
your
this
promotion.
Podcast.
And they can follow you on social media.
CCCB at CCCB the podcast on Instagram. And I am Joe Weber Does Jokes on Instagram. John Beecroft Snacks. That's J-O-N for John. John Beecroft Snacks on Instagram. You can find us on all of that stuff. So
all the podcast apps and everything.
Exactly. We're cool. on everything. So Spotify, Apple Pod, whatever.
Right.
You'll find us. So.
And that's and speaking of evolution, mm-hmm. and I know we're wrapping up, but just mm-hmm. it's a funny way that everything has kind of played out because of this era of Cape and now... This show, excuse me, the way it is now and its incarnation sitting here in July of 2021 is bigger than it's ever been in terms of fan base and downloads and all that other stuff.
Yep.
And since we switched over hosting providers last month, now the entire archive of The Only Podcast That Matters is available on all the podcast apps as well.
Nice.
And because people like this show, they've gone back and started listening to The
and
Only Podcast
And that's what we're hoping. Like, if
and
you
that's,
find
that's the hope.
Our people listen. So we've done so many cartoons. If you find one cartoon you like, if you... You scroll through, episode. You'll find more cartoons like, oh right. my God, I loved the Rugrats or whatever whenever we do that. Oh my God, you did Hey Arnold at the same time. Like, let's
yeah.
fucking go.
What do you
so.
Honestly think before we head out, what do you yeah. think are some standout episodes to you? Like, what, like, it, like
Hey Arnold, Gendy Tartakovsky, who is like our golden god on the podcast.
No, he is a god. That's okay.
We've done a major of the big three in anime. We did Bleach, guest spots, whatever. But like the material's amazing, and Avatar, The Last Airbender, not the fucking movie. No. That cartoon was mint, and it was our longest episode. Also, Batman the Animated Series. Those are our best episodes, off the top of my head, just because those are my fan favorite cartoons.
Yeah, and if you like cartoons, you can listen to them, discuss them. Like crazy.
Ad
guests.
Nauseam.
Ad nauseam. Well, I wasn't going to suggest it was going to make people nauseous, but hey.
It might because my factual nonsense is ridiculous. So.
You know what I love about your show, genuinely? It's the same thing I loved with doing my own animation podcast. And it was literally like, oh, they don't just know the technical stuff. They do. But they are truly just fans.
Yeah. Absolutely. We love the art form as it is.
Yeah.
And that's like, that's hugely important to me. Cause like, that's the other thing. If I'm listening to a podcast about health and fitness and the dude isn't into health and fitness, I ain't listening to you.
Yeah. If it sounds like a news report, no thanks. Leave me out of that. Yep. I'm with you. Like, you have to actually be interested in, in the same way with this. You have to be interested in your guest. You have to be interested in the conversation. You have to, and it's good to have people who fit that, who fit in those, who are able to talk about those subjects, I should say.
Exactly.
That only helps. So listen.
But we appreciate you having us on, man. Like, dude, this you guys has been amazing. So.
And more to come, obviously. More crossovers. And, absolutely. You know, you guys
so many more.
You guys are in the troop now. Yes. The ever expanding, you know, as I've been saying, has been the running joke. And it's also not a joke. But, you know, in the last couple weeks, the thing has been, I'm Kermit the Muppet movie, and I'm going around collecting all these Muppets to join the troop. And you guys are in as long as you want to be in. You
before
can be a part
go,
of this.
Now I got to know.
Yes,
which part in the Muppet movie are we? Or is this more like a Great Muppet Caper type putting the gang together where you just walk into the Happiness Hotel and you just see all these amazing ass podcasters?
If anybody,
that's a good question.
So we got somebody on the ones and twos, which is basically the drums, your animal. That's what's happening.
So I'm with the Electric Mayhem?
No,
yes,
he's Ralph.
Perfect.
He's Ralph.
Or he might be Ralph. Like
Christian is Ralph.
I'm happy with either or, because one, I'm just a badass dog. And then two, I get to help rescue the fucking Muppets at the end of the movie desert.
That's right. So either way.
Plus I have the cool bus.
I'm more like Beaker's sister that nobody, like, she existed in Muppet Babies, but then when the
Scooter's
Muppets...
sister, Skeeter. Your Skeeter?
Yeah, exactly. Like, I'm more like the forgotten one when it gets the actual Muppets everything. But in the Muppet Babies, she existed, so that's how that works. I'm just like, oh, I'm in the background. Like, let me know when it's my time to shine.
No, sir, you are Walter. Tell me I'm wrong. Tell me I'm wrong, Christian.
My...
No. Am I Walter or am I Beaker?
No, Walter. He's Walter.
Are you sure?
But wait, no, Beaker's you know what? No, I would.
I could be a Beaker.
No, because he's not anybody's. He's not
Let
the foil.
Me spike
he's
up
not,
this
he's
hair,
not
I'll
the victim of anybody.
This podcast right now.
You're not. You don't fill that role.
No.
Beaker's a tortured soul, and you're not. You're Walter. You're enthusiastic. You're funny. You love show business. You want to be a part
I'm
of
okay
the podcasting community. You're Walter.
It's not
and that's
a bad
a compliment.
Thing.
No, it's a total compliment.
You're the first new Muppet character in over, like, what, 20
Let's
years?
Go.
So
since Pepe, probably.
Yeah, so
almost 20 years. Since
so, yeah.
Over a decade.
I appreciate being on here, man. Thank you so much.
Oh, you guys are so welcome. And, of course, subscribe. Like I said, enjoy the guest host episode next week because it's going to be great. Christian's going to be a part of it, too. He's going to be in there as well as engineer and, I guess, de facto co-host,
Maybe
essentially.
Maybe I'll be on camera.
Maybe Ooh. You will, which is fine. I mean, lucky for the audience, huh?
Nah.
And you can follow the show, once again, at Cape Pod on Twitter, Instagram, and TikTok. Subscribe on the podcast app of your choice. Share, like, follow, all that good stuff. You can follow me on Twitter, Chris Abalo, and on Instagram at Chris Sells Out. And, of course, follow Christian at Christian_Cordes, that's Cordes, on Instagram as well, and RK Productions on YouTube, because we got to give him his plugs, because he's earned them.
Thank you.
And ashareduniverse.com, book your podcast, book your remote podcast, learn how to podcast, whatever it is, but go to the website and check it out, and let these guys help you get to the point where, whether it's where I'm at in this 11 years deep business of doing podcasts,
or 30 episodes in for CCCB. So.
Because you got to start.
Exactly.
Whether
just start.
You're a veteran or an infant.
Exactly. Just start. And that'll do it for this week. So until next time, for Joe, John, and Christian, this is Chris Abalo, and this was yet another experiment. Oh, yeah, and get a game show host voice going like I do. There's that. Tip number 4.
Solid.